welcome back to another episode of Talent Talks, the podcast for creatives who are building with sustainable intention, not just fleeting momentum. Today, I'm talking about the unseen work and the long middle. It's doing the work, pouring your heart in, and then nothing happens. Or so it seems. You start scrolling through Instagram, TikTok, seeing highlight reels of overnight success, and think to yourself, is what I'm doing even working? Well, the good news is, you're not alone. The National Center for Biotechnology Information and a study done by Beijing Technology and Business University found that during the COVID-19 pandemic, by May 2020, only 91% of the Chinese small and medium enterprises had resumed normal operations, in contrast to the 99.1% of larger companies. But this episode isn't to tell you what you already know. That yes, being a creative is a stressful endeavor, and it's about how you overcome the long middle that often happens before success and how to not lose your mind while doing it. In this episode, we'll cover why the long middle is normal and necessary, how to redefine winning beyond your ROI, how mentally to play the long game, and the butterfly effect and how you can use it to your advantage. Let's get into it. Whoever coined the term overnight success should do an overnight stay in jail. Okay, maybe not that severe, but I digress. Google describes it as the phrase overnight success often highlights the illusion of rapid achievement while overlooking the often substantial groundwork and dedication that precedes widespread recognition. So yes, it is in fact bullshit. Think about it. J.K. Rowling spent years writing Harry Potter, scribbling down ideas and chapters in cafes, living paycheck to paycheck while getting rejection letter after rejection letter before Bloomsbury finally took a chance on her. She went through 12 other publishers saying no to finally get her first yes. Her overnight success was a decade in the making. And Walt Disney's journey was no different. He actually got fired from one of his first newspaper gigs for lack of imagination, and his first animation studio went bankrupt. Not quite the Disney empire we're now familiar with. Even for the legendary Farouk Bulsara, who we all know better as Freddie Mercury from Queen, global stardom didn't just fall in his lap. He struggled both internally and with the band for years, discovering his onstage persona while Queen toured endlessly, far before any Galileos were sang. My point is, they pushed through the discomfort that comes with the long middle, the in-between where you're putting in the effort but the tree has yet to bear fruit. Things take time, good things especially, and seasons don't change overnight. The Kauffman Foundation did a study on startup longevity, and it showed that the average successful startup takes around 6 to 10 years to reach significant profitability. Yet, like I mentioned in my last episode, many startups don't make it past their long middle, having closures or pivots within the first 5 years or less. Instead of feeling discouraged or not having immediate results like you want, I want you to focus on shifting your timeline from a sprint to a marathon, because the show must go on. For example, instead of saying, I want to see 100,000 followers by next Tuesday while only having 42 followers in your business Instagram, break it down into, let's see if I can consistently grow my following base by 10% each month by posting 2 to 3 reels per week and interacting with other accounts for at least 45 minutes per day. I'll collect data for the next 6 to 8 months while making minor improvements and see how feasibly I can reach this goal. See the difference? Speaking of metrics, it's easy to often fixate on the algorithm, the likes, comments, reposts, instead of diving deeper into how our work really impacts people. You already know I like my statistics and my examples. So think of Vincent Van Gogh. His life story is honestly incredibly sad, selling only one painting his entire life for dirt cheap. any data analyst or marketing mogul in this day and age would have immediately said an artist like him was a failure. Yet Van Gogh was so incredibly before his time, he rejected impressionism and used his intense emotions to convey his inner world with unique colors and brushstrokes. Instead of simply capturing the visible appearance of a scene, like other artists from his era did. What if instead of framing each action as a metric to be counted, we reframed what it meant to win and went from there? Maybe your win today isn't closing the contract on a new client, but the clarity you gained while answering their email. It could also be a post that you made that was a bit out of your comfort zone, but you still hit publish on a topic that left you feeling a little bit more vulnerable. It can even be as simple as the deep focus you were able to have when creating something you found meaning in. When we reframe our wins, we fuel our inner voice, allowing us to recharge and detach from just seeing sales as a means of success, which then help us become more resilient. So this week, I challenge you to do the micro experiment. Take a big goal, break it down into bite-sized pieces that you can test in under a day. When I tested this action item out last week, my micro experiment was starting writing a new book with a choose your own adventure style of writing. I experimented by writing a quick outline in approximately 1,000 words, then stopped there to gauge where it sat with me. It's not about the end result, but overcoming the fear of failure by breaking down what could be a 10-year goal, like I want to be a famous writer, into small tangible tidbits that offer valuable insights. This exercise is also one of the core principles in Eric Ries's book, The Lean Startup, as it talks about having small, low-risk, rapid tests to help redefine your approach without wasting time or money. Basically, fail fast and do it for cheap, and in doing so, your business can be more resilient. Speaking of resilience, whatever type of creativity you pour your soul into, it can be taxing, very individual, and sometimes quite lonely. A study done in 2008 by Nancy Anderson at the Carver College of Medicine in Iowa found that a staggering 80% of writers had a mood disorder, versus the 30% of the control group. I do want to say that I don't think the sample size was large enough at n equals 30, and hence why the number of writers have such a large disparagement of mood disorders, why it's so high, but that might also just be personal prejudice. Either way, it showcases how vital it is for artists, writers, musicians to build and maintain a supportive network while also practicing mindfulness techniques. Easier said to do, I know, especially when the last thing you want to do is yoga or leave the house for a short walk. But in my experience, when I feel myself willingly going into self-isolation mode, it's a red flag that I might need to talk to a friend or simply go outside. If you're feeling that, am I doing enough internal debate, I highly recommend checking out our earlier episode, episode 3, How to Take Smart Risks as a Creative, which dives deeper into managing that self-doubt. And episode 2, about strategic pivoting, for a more tangible roadmap when you're ready to initiate change and sustain it. Next up is an exercise I do when I'm feeling overwhelmed or vulnerable, scrolling through the comments of some of the products, service, or content I put out there. When I catch myself starting to internalize, I stop and I do this feedback loop filter exercise. I want you to take a pen and paper and at the top, title it the feedback loop filter and draw a line straight down the middle of the page. On the left side, put actionable insights and on the right, put extra noise. Now open your business account to the platform of your choice where your customers or followers have commented, messaged, or critiqued your work. Take each comment and sort them into one of the two columns. Like you might have already guessed, the actionable items are for things that are actually helpful. Comments like, your audio is a bit fuzzy, or I'd love more tangible action items in episodes. Basically, anything that can help you improve what you put out there. The noise column is literally just that, outer noise. These comments are vague, not constructive, or simply some incel on the internet that's managed to use a keyboard. These comments have no utility, and when you write them in this column, I want you to tell your brain they don't matter. Try this out with at least 10 comments and see how it feels. For me, I like it because I can tangibly see myself writing things down, see the paper being filled up, and then review how I can truly improve what I'm putting out into the world. Which is really important to me since one of my core values is wanting what I create to help others grow. Main point of this exercise, not everything is meant to be internalized. Actually, please don't internalize everything, and sift through the crap comments to find those true gems. I'll be honest, I don't know about you guys, but the month of July has really chewed me up and spit me out. Like any individual in the creative field, I sometimes question why I show up or why I even record these podcast episodes. If I'm not seeing 100,000 million views and 10 brand deals by next episode. I'm just kidding. That's not why I really do it, but you get my point. It's easy to feel insignificant when our efforts don't immediately translate into viral fame or a huge paycheck. That's when I remind myself of the butterfly effect. The idea that true impact is built through what might seemingly be insignificant action that then snowballs into a profound change or a light bulb moment. Shifting my perspective into looking at each action as a larger whole helps me see that one piece of content that only got 10 likes was shared with someone that ran into a much bigger channel and is now looking for new writers to showcase on their page. How a random conversation I had while surfing turned into me partnering with a local elementary school to get my latest book on their shelves. Or simply the idea that each intentional step I take forward leads me to the next thing in my journey, and that alone is something to be grateful for. I'm not saying do good things so that you can get back good karma or do good things so that your business will blow up overnight. But if you started looking at each action as a larger piece of a painting, what would you see when you finally put it all together? Probably something pretty beautiful, I'm guessing. Okay, example time. Let's look at the amazing body positivity, flute playing, chart topping Lizzo. She spent year after year honing her craft, performing at smaller venues, and relentlessly advocating for self-love and body positivity. Her current success is due to her determination, consistency, and her undying belief that every step led her closer to her end goal, to be heard and understood by millions. Childish Gambino, also known as Donald Glover, is another creator that has built his career across comedy, acting, music almost simultaneously to the general public. But realistically, he spent over a decade trying to break into the industry before getting several breakout roles, like his acting role in Atlanta, or his song, This Is America. Before giving my last example, I want to say I know your journey isn't this extreme, but Nelson Mandela spent 27 years in prison before becoming president of South Africa. He was pushed aside, jilted, and his daily persistence remained unseen for many decades before it turned into monumental change. It was his work ethic, belief, and sustained efforts, even in the face of bigotry, that led him to dismantling apartheid and becoming the first Black president of South Africa. Our last action item is one that never fails to help me reconnect with my why because it goes beyond my desire for external validation. It's also one taken straight out of Viktor Frankl's teachings, the author of Man's Search for Meaning, who emphasized how finding purpose is key to mental resilience and well-being. Simply sit down, put the phone away, and ask yourself these questions. Beyond money or fame, what is the deepest impact I want my work to have? What core problem am I truly passionate about solving? And what feeling does my work create for others, regardless of its success? If these questions feel difficult for you, let me be the first to answer. Number one, beyond money or fame, the deepest impact I want my work to have is for someone to truly be moved by what I create. to feel like they can also take the road less traveled and live a life that truly aligns with what their heart wants. 2, the core problem I'm passionate about solving is removing self-doubt in the creative space and replacing it with tangible, logical action items that individuals can implement. 3, the feeling my work creates for others is a sense of empowerment. Many of these questions, along with exercises to help you reconnect with your why, can also be found in my mental health workbook by KO Creative and Kaylee Otsuka. It's packed with bite-sized prompts, planners, and activities designed for positive self-talk, emotional regulation, building self-confidence, and even daily gratitude tracking. I'll also post a simple PDF version of the earlier exercises that you can download directly from my website. So if you're in that long middle right now, tirelessly showing up, doing the work, feeling the hum of daily effort without the immediate applause, trust the process, look for butterflies, and step away when necessary to remind yourself why you do what you do. As always, this episode was brought to you by KO Creative Agency, where we help creatives build messaging that feels like them, not a marketing bro in disguise. We've got free and paid tools to help you clarify your voice and stay true to yourself, even when visibility gets weird. Think professional branding at coffee shop pricing. Start with our mental health workbook on Amazon. It's packed with bite-sized prompts, planners, and activities designed to help you cultivate the positive self-talk and build the self-confidence essential for navigating the entrepreneurial journey. Plus, you'll find tools to regulate emotions and even an ADHD-friendly goal-setting exercise to keep your creative business moving forward. Find the link in the show notes, or view our bite-sized digital versions, on kocreativeagency.com. Thanks for tuning in, and I'll see you next time on Talent Talks.